Now it's time to turn our attention to the big political stories of the day. I'm joined by Jack Summers of the Huffington Post. A very good morning to you, Jack. Plenty about the election here, but before I do that, I hope you don't mind. Lots in the newspapers this morning about the French presidential elections. Unsurprisingly, the FT saying relief has swept through the markets following that first round win by Emmanuel Macron. But many papers saying no time at all for complacency. Telegraph this morning saying EU officials, they're wrong to regard this outcome as a triumph. The Sun saying Mr. Macron will carry on with the policy, the programme, calamitous, they say, of the outgoing President François Hollande. Just give us an idea, what's going on here? Is this a time for complacency?
Well, it depends what you're fearing about being complacent about. I mean, I think that Emmanuel Macron going head-to-head with Marine Le Pen in the next round of the elections is something to be at least to celebrate, because he will almost certainly defeat her. I mean, having triumphed in the first round on Sunday, he's now won the backing of a lot of erstwhile rivals who've said things like, you know, there's a difference between a political opponent and an enemy of the Republic. So that a lot of people will be, well, gathering around him as opposed to Le Pen. So there won't be a far-right, anti-Semitic, nationalist president of France, which I guess is something to be at least happy about for now. And as you said, it has calmed the market somewhat, because the election of Le Pen, who wants... Well, she hopes that Brexit means Frexit, would absolutely terrify them. So I think, is it time to be complacent? Emmanuel Macron is an outsider. He's never held elected office. He was in Hollande's cabinet, but he is from his own political movement, his own party. So he's not a socialist whose popularity has collapsed in France in between these two elections. So it's very difficult to say what he'll do in office. But the thing he's got going for him is he's not going to be Le Pen. Yeah. And that will at least calm people down. Whether they're complacent is another matter. But I think that, you know, France is not going to have Le Pen as its president is a good thing for France and a good thing for Europe. So it has to be someone else. It's going to be Macron almost certainly. So we'll have to wait and see until he's elected in the second round and then takes office a week later to know what he's going to do and how and whether or not we should have been complacent about it.
And just a word, Le Pen, who you're talking about, Marine Le Pen, has announced she's stepping aside as leader of the National Front Party. Is she hoping this will make her more electable, more universal if she's the face of the party?
I think it's actually quite a baffling decision. I mean, she is a National Front candidate. I mean, whether she's temporarily stepping down as leader of the National Front is completely moot. No one's going to say, oh, I didn't like her when she was leading the National Front, you know, who have a history of making Islamophobic and anti-Semitic remarks. Oh, but now that she's independent, I'll vote for her. I mean, no, I mean, that's not going to wash at all. That's like Theresa May saying, I'm not a Tory for the next 4 weeks. Just vote for me and then I'll become a Tory again after the election. It's just not going to... It seems a very odd thing to do. So I don't think it will really affect or mean anything for her chances.
All right, let's bring this closer to home now. And we're getting more from Labour's Brexit strategy, focusing on the Eye this morning, reporting that the party is vowing to rip up reckless Tory plans on how to handle Britain's departure from the EU if they're elected. Also, Sir Keir Starmer's just been talking as well, setting out Labour's plans as well. I appreciate he's only just finished. What are we hearing here?
So finally, Labour's kind of realised it needs to fight this election on Brexit. It can't talk about its pet subject like the NHS and hope to get away with it. Brexit's what this election is about, and it needs to finally articulate a vision. And that's what Keir Starmer's just done. He's been a lot more concrete than Labour has until now. So he's pledged that if Labour win the election, it's a massive if, obviously, they would immediately guarantee the rights of EU nationals to remain here. Mm-hmm. And crucially, the big difference is they've said they will give MPs what he referred to as a meaningful vote. This is a real pet issue for Remainers, the idea that whatever deal we negotiate with the EU, MPs can have a full vote on it. So they can vote perhaps between several different options, and they can vote to veto a deal and send us back to the negotiating table. Remember that the only thing Theresa May has promised is a single yes or no vote on the final deal. And if we vote against it, we leave the EU with no deal at all. So effectively, a kind of Hobson's choice vote. Which what Labour is saying is they're kind of endorsing that Remainer view of whatever we negotiate, MPs have got to vote on it. And if they don't like it, we have to go back and negotiate. So it's a big step forward for Labour, because until now, they've been all over the place. They've really struggled. You know, Labour's in a really unenviable position on this. You know, they've got a mixture of, you know, kind of rural pro-leave constituencies and urban pro-Remain constituencies, and they've tried to balance between the two sort of sides and totally failed, and they've come up with really kind of inarticulate. I mean, they were talking weeks ago about five tests of Brexit, and I can't even remember what they were. Something about like not attacking workers' rights and access to the single market or something like that. It was all over the place. So they finally, this election has finally kind of forced them to say, this is the type of Brexit we would have. So it's finally, you know, as Labour kind of collapsed in the polls and really kind of really in the doldrums all over the country, they finally articulated at least as good a vision of Brexit as Theresa May has. And of course, they're taking from the SNP playbook, as you heard there, with, you know, reckless Tory Brexit. That's what Nicola Sturgeon's been saying for months, kind of playing up the idea that the Tories are going to do Brexit, they're going to do it badly, and we can do it better. And that's absolutely the message they need to have in the next few weeks.
Before I let you go, Jack, I do want to ask you, The Guardian leading with a story that pro-EU campaign group Open Britain is urging voters to unseat prominent Brexit-supporting MPs, among those Ian Duncan-Smith and Theresa Villiers. What do you make of this?
Well, this is inevitable. I mean, the election is about Brexit, whether it's rerunning the second referendum or not. It's about Brexit, the defining issue. And what was always going to be interesting was pro-Leave MPs with Remain constituencies, which is what this sort of target list is about. I don't think it will make a great deal of difference, because a lot of these MPs who are kind of being targeted for being pro-Brexit are Tories. There's obviously going to be a big swing to the Tories. So even people like Ian Duncan-Smith will be all right, because they're probably going to increase their majorities. I mean, there are some interesting ones, like, I mean, Kate Hoey in Vauxhall. She's got a constituency that voted something like 75% Remain. The Lib Dems are targeting her hard. They launched their campaign there yesterday. They're putting out literature showing her with Farage saying Vauxhall deserves better. So that will be interesting. But I think this is just a kind of, you know, a pro-Remain group's got to come into the election somehow, and this is going to do it. And I don't think it's going to make a huge amount of difference, because so many of the people they're targeting are Tories, who are going to boost their chances and boost their majorities in this election compared to last time.
Brilliant. Jack Summers, The Huffington Post, thank you so much for joining us this morning.